Today on Idea Tellers.
Your ideas matter. They absolutely do, more than ever. I really believe that when you tell your story and you use stories to articulate a vision for the future that you want to see, that it will inspire people to enlist to help you make that future. The best work any of us have done is not in our past, it's in our future. Don't be afraid to pick up that torch and to lead others to the next stage of this journey.
If you value your ideas, you need to listen to this podcast. If you think your ideas deserve to be told and valued, you need to listen to this podcast. Patty Sanchez's mission and life's work is to empower leaders, teams, and individuals to become more effective and empathetic communicators so they can motivate people to embrace bold ideas and achieve big things. She's also the co-author of Illuminate, Ignite Change Through Speeches, Stories, Ceremonies, and Symbols. Her most recent work is called Presenting Virtually, Communicate and Connect with Online Audiences. This is Idea Tellers. Hola mi gente, bienvenidos. Welcome to another edition of Idea Tellers. Let me ask you this. How important are your ideas, mi gente? Do you think they deserve to be heard by the right people? And do you think that your ideas can make things happen? Can that even happen if we're meeting remotely? Well, I'm here to tell you that it is possible. Our show today brings you a leader in communications. Her career has been defined by helping professionals lead movements out of their ideas. All this through the power of storytelling and effective presentations. It is my honor to welcome Patty Sanchez. Bienvenida, Patty. Welcome.
Hola. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really thrilled to be here.
And we're thrilled to have you as well. Patty has led expert teams of communication consultants and creative writers who help clients move their audiences in one powerful moment or in a movement over time. She's the co-author of the bestseller Illuminate, Ignite Change Through Speeches, Ceremonies, and Symbols. And she's the author of her new work, Presenting Virtually, Communicate and Connect with Online Audiences. We're in for a treat, mi gente, yes. Patty, please tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I have been practicing communication as a professional for a little over 30 years. Started at a state school, San Jose State, studying public relations. And there I got really excited about the prospect of being kind of a translator between a business or an organization and its community. And I felt like that was a really necessary role for businesses to be able to drive the change they want to see in the world, but for the community also to feel involved in that change. And so early on in school, I worked in a government agency representing the public's interests in the transportation projects, and then moved over to the agency world doing communication consulting for technology companies and big brands, which is what I've been doing ever since.
Excellent. Did you identify a personal gift for communications early in your life, or did your family tell you, you know, you should follow this path? I think you'd be good.
Well, I grew up in a family of people who like to talk and people who like to write. My mom was a debater in high school and college. My father was a salesman who loved telling stories. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my siblings, I'm the youngest of five, every single one of them actually writes or wrote at some time in their lives. And so that was the first doorway I came to communication through, beyond, besides conversation and around the family table, was through writing in school. And I got positive feedback about my essays, and I just always loved English. And so that was the first moment when I thought, maybe words are a good thing for me to use in my future work.
Awesome. Now, later you saw that there was a need of training professionals, so training actually firms into the art of communicating their ideas.
Yeah.
What took place to come to this realization, if you will?
I guess in my early work as a consultant, I found that it's like that parable, you know, you can give a man or a woman a fish or you can teach them how to fish. In my consulting work, I saw a lot of not great communication, and it certainly gave me job security to always have a role to as a speech writer, as a communication strategist to help them get better. But I also felt like I wasn't having the kind of impact just doing the work for them that I could have by teaching them how to do the work. And so I always found myself just teaching little workshops or courses to either my peers in the company that I worked at or to my customers to give them some best practices that they could use after I had left the room. It's among the most rewarding work I've ever done to teach people a method and then watch their eyes light up and to hear how it really transformed them. It changed the way that they live and work. And so there's nothing more satisfying than that.
As a leader, as someone who has vision where to take your team and their company, what is the greatest challenge you have and the greatest satisfaction you have?
It's a great question. Challenge and satisfaction both come from driving change, which is ironic because that was the topic of the book Illuminate. And writing that book together, we had to apply what we were learning to the business at the same time because the company was growing, but also trying to pivot 5 years ago and really started to grow its training business and wanted to broaden the impact that we could have. And that's hard, especially when you have a group of people working for you that are masters of their craft. They're really experts in a specific discipline. And when you ask people to step outside what they're comfortable doing, it can be a little scary. And so it was the perfect petri dish for writing a book like Illuminate to be able to apply it to ourselves.
So let's delve a little deeper into Illuminate, because you co-authored, and correct me if I'm wrong, because there's a lot of technique involved in presenting, and you touched very accurately on that, on presenting virtually, and we'll touch on that. But how did this idea of creating the book Illuminate come about, if I may ask?
Yeah, it started with questions from our customers. I was at the time, 10 years ago, leading the communication practice for Duarte's agency, which is the studio that works with leaders on their communications and events and such. And so I got a call from one of our high-level executive customers at a very large company who said, I have a really big idea and I need you all to help me tell it, communicate it. And I said, that's fantastic. And he said, oh, no, you don't understand. This is not just a big idea that I need a speech for. I want to create a movement. This is a huge idea. It's transformative. And I want to change how people work. And I said, Okay. Well, I'll get right back to you on that. What is this, a movement? And so I started puzzling over it, and we realized, well, we need to understand what actually makes movements work. And I mean, fundamentally, it's a book about communication strategy applied to the challenge of change management. But it can apply to any number of situations where you're trying to mobilize a lot of people to do something very different than what they're doing today. And that is something that, you know, the best speech in the world can't achieve all on its own. It takes, you know, ongoing, well-planned communication over time to make that happen.
Absolutely. And I'm going to touch precisely on that, because you touched on that on presenting virtually here. Okay, so let's talk about presenting virtually. Communicate and connect with online audiences. You start pretty much putting everything in the current context of post-COVID era, you know, the necessity of communicating your idea clearly and convincingly has evolved into a different format, which is how you and I are speaking right now remotely. And the fact that you need some preparation and some framework that is going to help you deliver the message more powerfully. Would you like to tell me a little bit about how you came up with this frame or the idea of writing this book?
Presenting virtually?
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that also came from a request. I'm very responsive to when people say I need help.
Okay.
Customers expressing that they were struggling with using this medium well. Even ones who are practiced presenters and very comfortable on a big stage lose their mojo.
Did you get that? She's listening to the market, okay?
Exactly. It's really critical. I think that's the main thing leaders have to do is listen. Anyway, I heard a need and decided to write this book, which is essentially a collection of the practices that had to go virtual within the past year and a half. And as I thought about what I wanted to say in this book that would make it unique, and it came down to human connection, which you spoke to before, helping people relate to each other, helping a communicator reach an audience and have their ideas truly resonate with that audience. And I think that what's hard about this virtual communication medium is, in particular, is that all of this technology that we're using to have this conversation is also getting in the way of our connection. It's just not the same as being in person together. And so we have to work harder to project our full selves through a tiny little dot, you know, a camera lens, so that you feel me and I feel you and we feel more connected to each other and thus are changed by the interaction. And to me, that's not just about slides. It's not just about content. It's about learning how to relate to another human being, but using the technology to your advantage to do that.
Can you tell us one of the main topics that presenting virtually touches on to generate that empathy in a different medium, like, you know, remote communications?
Well, empathy is a thread through that book, as it is through Illuminate as well. In presenting virtually, I break down the process of creating a virtual presentation into four phases. There's strategy, there's storytelling, there's visual thinking, and then there's delivery when you actually express your ideas once you've planned and built it all out. And even the strategy section starts with understanding your audience, but specifically, how hard it is for them to stay focused on you when they're in this virtual meeting or this virtual environment. Because just like me, I'm sure you have distractions around you right now. My dog is on the floor. He might, you know, shake his collar and, you know, come up and like need some food right away. There's like leaf blowers outside. There are a lot of things that could distract me and make it hard for me to stay focused and present in this conversation with you. And the same is true for you. If you know that about your audience and you embrace that, the difficulty, how hard it is for them to stay focused on you, then you can do things differently. You can make choices, focused, intentional choices about how you're going to make it easier for them to stay focused on you, how you're going to make it more interesting so that they'll want to stay focused on you. And so that changes, I think, fundamentally how you build your content. It should be more consumable, smaller, more tasty bites, not big, long lectures. Your slides should be even simpler and easier to read than they would be in person. Your delivery needs to be even more dynamic, and you need to use all of your attributes to hold the audience close to you. You know, making eye contact through the camera, using your facial expressions and your gestures to amplify what you're saying to make that connection.
Which can be intimidating, you know, like... So I've been wanting to do a podcast or a radio show for like 15 years, something like that. I only started a year ago. And I think I have a face for radio, you know.
And, oh, Juan, you're gorgeous. What are you talking about? Everybody's listening. I'm seeing him on video and there is nothing to hate there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. By the way, I must say that Patty a few minutes ago complimented my bookcase, which I spent a day and a half arranging, and the fact that Patty Sanchez said that about my bookcase, I'm so pleased, man. I am a happy man, and I totally forgot what I was going to say. But anyway.
Well, we're talking about relating to each other and making intentional choices. And even the fact that you did organize your bookcase shows me that you care. And it can be intimidating, I think is what you're about to say.
Yeah.
It can be intimidating to know that you need to level up a little bit to get your audience to stay interested and engaged in your presentation. But if your ultimate goal is to move them, to mobilize them, to do something different, it's in your best interest to put that effort in. But they'll also feel that effort, you know, when you make a choice to make your bookcase pleasing for me to look at, I just want to like you more. I want to say thank you for being considerate of my eyeballs and trying to make something pretty for me.
Thank you for saying that, because that was intent, and it demonstrates me that human beings are very intuitive, and they can tell if a presenter is just there to, well, give a PowerPoint, or if they are trying to convey a message that is going to touch the minds and the hearts of their audience, and it's going to move them into action. That's a big difference, isn't it?
It is, very much so. And again, it goes back to empathy. I think there's one school of thought about persuasion or influence, whatever you want to call it, is some people approach it like manipulation. I'm going to say and do all the things I have to do to get you to do what I want you to do. And I come at it from another perspective, which is, I want you to want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want you to feel inherently excited about my idea, to feel like it is meaningful to you. And again, that if I believe that, it changes the way I communicate to you. I'll plan a little bit more carefully the things that I say and try and find some common ground, like your luchador masks for us to talk about. because I want you to feel equally engaged and inspired by the conversation or by the presentation. So it's a different way of thinking, but I think it ultimately, it's like my mom always used to say, you know, you can get more flies with honey than you can with vinegar.
There you go. Absolutely.
It works. I think it works.
Yeah. I come from a background and unfortunately leadership that taught me that presentations, you either berate people to attention or just there wasn't a whole lot of attention paid into this particular aspect of being converted to your message and to the idea of empathize with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in itself is revolutionary. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to invite you to my podcast. Now, I'm going to ask you from the perspective of a Latino, because one of my motivations for this podcast is to make sure that our leaders, the leaders of our people, are shining out there and that they do the best, they bring out their best game to the world and to demonstrate the world that we actually are good contributors to society in a world that is perceiving us as sometimes people who just take from the system. You know? Is there something in particular that you would tell a Latino, a Latina leader these days, or some realization that you have gathered through your experience? What would you tell Latino leaders regarding their message and their ideas, please?
Well, first I have to say that my affection for Latinx, Hispanic culture is deep, and from the perspective of an outsider. My name is Sanchez, but it's my married name, and so I am a Caucasian woman who has no right to tell you what you should do with your lives or your ideas.
Oh, it's all right. My wife is white as well, and you know, your family already. So don't give me that, Patty.
I'm honorary. I come to the culture through my husband and his Mexican American heritage, and I've heard stories. First, I'll acknowledge I've heard incredibly painful stories from his parents about the shame that they experienced being Mexican-American in America in the 30s, 40s, 50s. Mm-hmm. I mean, you name it, till now. Mm-hmm. And it just enrages me. I don't think any human deserves that, and everyone should be treated with the utmost respect and given all the opportunities. I resonated with what you said in the beginning of our conversation to your listeners, which is that your ideas matter. They absolutely do, more than ever. And so I really believe that when you tell your story and you use stories to articulate a vision for the future that you want to see, that it will inspire people to enlist to help you make that future. One of the movements, and I studied a bit, I'm not a deep expert in it, but I studied a bit during the writing of Illuminate, was around United Farm Workers mobilization, a work of Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta and Luis Valdez. And I was just so moved by the way that movement used communication, storytelling, ceremonies, symbols to wake people up and to bring attention to La Causa. I think studying those leaders of the past from the community that you are a member of is absolutely instructive. And yet, the best work any of us have done is not in our past, it's in our future. And so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to pick up that torch and to lead yourself, lead others to the next stage of this journey that maybe Cesar started, but we didn't get to finish.
Wow, that is inspiring. On that note, all I can say is thank you, Patty. This has been most, I'm going to say it, illuminating and inspiring, to be honest.
Well done.
Thank you so much. Needless to say, you're always welcome to come back to our show. And I wish you the best of successes with presenting virtually. And know that you have an ally here in the pod sphere, okay?
I will be honored to come back anytime. If only just to have another conversation with you, Mr. Leifel.
Thank you. Thank you, Patty. That was Patty Sanchez, and this is Idea Tellers. Nos vemos.